This is Going Public. I'm Dan Woods. I'm joined now by Dr. Bill Edelman. He's the Associate Director of the Keep Girardeau Research Center with the State Historical Society of Missouri. An eighth-generation Missourian, Bill was a professor of biology at Southeast Missouri State University for 22 years and also served as provost before his retirement in 2016. He's here to talk with us about Missouri's bicentennial celebration in 2021 and his radio program, Missouri Bicentennial Minutes, which you can hear here on KRCU. Bill, good to see you.
Good to see you, Dan.
So next year is a big year for the state of Missouri, right?
Yes, the bicentennial, 200 years since statehood.
What are some of the things that are going to be going on in celebration of the bicentennial?
Well, quite a few things. You can look at the website, which is Missouri2021.org, and see the full gamut of things that are going on. But for the most part, State Historical Society is not doing these things. There's a few things we're doing. But what we're doing is kind of coordinating things that people do in local counties and local communities and getting the word out for people. Nonetheless, right here locally, very soon we're going to have Missouri Humanities Council display, which is a traveling display on the struggle for statehood, and that'll be at the River Heritage Museum in December and January. And after that, later in January, we also have a traveling photo exhibit, My Missouri 2021, which will be at the Cape Girardeau Public Library the 8th through the 25th of January.
A lot of folks, I know you're a big history buff, a lot of folks around the area are interested in history. So this event next year, there's going to be a lot of events going on for people to really just come and do a lot of deep dive on Missouri's history, right?
Right, and there's a lot out there. A lot of times people, if they live in an area, they don't think there's much history there. They don't pay much attention, but really there's quite a bit of history. And as you know, one of the things I'm doing is these Missouri Bicentennial Minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be one of those every week in the bicentennial year starting in January. We're doing them one a month now.
And those are on KRCU Public Radio. Shameless plug there for KRCU. But you've done you found some interesting things. When we tape, of course, we tape the episode, but then you always tell me more. So share with us just some of the more interesting stories that you found in your research.
Well, one of the ones that's coming up is I had no idea there was anything this heinous that went on leading into the bicentennial year, but one of the ones I'll be talking about is a murder that occurred in Madison County where an individual murdered several members of the Duncan family, including the mother, the father, and two young sons. He didn't kill the daughters because he thought there was a lot of money in the cabin, and so he lured the father out with an idea that he wanted to look at some land that the father had for sale, and murdered the young son that went out, then lured the wife out and the other son, and went back to the cabin. There was nothing beyond a few dollars in the cabin, so he murdered this family and then made a getaway and, of course, was caught relatively quickly and was, as they used to say when justice was swift, he was given a fair trial and then hanged.
Wow. And that's one of the more heinous stories you've
found. That's one of the worst ones I've got. But a lot of the stories that I'm going to be telling are just, how did people live in 1821? We have a real bad case oftentimes of what is referred to as presentism, where we tend to judge what happened in the past by present-day standards. And I'd like to get people an insight into what was going on in 1821 and how people thought and what sort of life they had to put up with. One of the ones recently that we recorded involved an exploring expedition that came back through Jackson and Cape Girardeau. And of course, in 1820, Jackson was by far the more booming place. It was newly designated within the previous 15 years as the county seat and was kind of in a boom phase. Cape was on the decline for a variety of reasons. And the people in the expedition that wrote the journals did not think much of Cape. at that time.
I remember when you read that,
there were houses falling in ruins, and the jail was in horrible shape, and the only thing really decent was a tavern, which, of course, in those days, a tavern was not the way we think of a tavern. It was more like an inn or a motel with meals.
Okay.
So that was about the only thing that they thought much of.
Let's talk a little about the voyage or the journey to statehood, because there were a lot of struggles and a lot of obstacles for Missouri to become a state. Talk about a few of those and some of the highlights.
Of course, admitting Missouri as a state would have tipped the balance. Missouri wanted to come in as a slave state, and that would have tipped the balance, which Congress had managed to keep an even number of slave and free states up to that point. Yeah. That would have tipped it. And so there was quite a really raucous debate over admission of Missouri for that very reason. And finally, Henry Clay in Congress came up with the idea for a compromise. And the compromise was Missouri was going to be the last slave state admitted north of what was designated as the Missouri Compromise line. Mm-hmm. And in order to not tip that balance, Maine, which had been carved out of Massachusetts, was admitted as a free state at the same time. Well, not only that, one of my upcoming minutes will be talking about the snag that hit with the Missouri Constitution that was presented to Congress. Of course, a territory had to write a constitution and elect officials, send the Constitution to Congress for approval. And once that Constitution was approved, then they would pass a resolution or a law to admit the territory as a state. And so there was a little bit of a snag at the last minute, which once again involved aspects of slavery, sometimes referred to as the Second Missouri Compromise. It was a situation where there was a clause in the state constitution as written in 1820 in which any free or newly freed slave could not enter the state, period.
No exceptions.
A free person of color or a freed slave could not enter the state. Well, many congressmen thought that violated the Constitution, which allows for free movement of citizens among the different states. Well, that was going to snag things right at the finish line. And once again, Henry Clay came up with an idea for a compromise where this law had not been passed. It was written in the Constitution that the state legislature would pass that law. And so the deal was the General Assembly agreed not to pass such a law. And so the compromise worked. They sent on the resolution to President Monroe. Hmm.
One of the other things I've noticed as we've been doing the show is a lot of the names for counties and different cities, these big names that were very instrumental, I guess, in those early days. Mention some of the names that people may recognize from some of the...
Well, one name that I'll talk about later in 2021 was the admission or the carving out of Scott County, which is our county to the south today, and it didn't exist at the beginning of 2021. Scott County is named for John Scott, who was a lawyer from St. Genevieve who had served as congressman for Missouri. Missouri was allowed, as a territory, was allowed representation in Congress, and he was the representation. Scott was kind of an interesting individual. He never really got beyond St. Genevieve. He practiced law up there for many, many years on up to the Civil War times. And he was apparently a bit eccentric in his dress and always carried around this very large green valise that people thought was a little odd, and he wore a jacket even when it was warm weather. So nonetheless, they thought enough of him that they named a county after him. Of course, we've got counties like Madison and Wayne, which were named after James Madison and Anthony Wayne, who was a general in the Revolutionary War and also an Indian or general during the Indian Wars in the Ohio Valley. And then we've got Perry, who was Commodore Perry, who was instrumental in the War of 1812. So
it's interesting to look back and all, because there's a history for all of these things.
Right.
And that's just another example of that. Why is it important for us to stop and to celebrate these things and to look back at the history of the state? Why is it important?
Well, it's important to see where we came from and how we got here, and think that this didn't just pop out of nowhere, and that we have a legacy that we need to live up to as well. So a lot of people have very little idea of the history of the state of Missouri, and it's good to celebrate these milestones like this so that people remember and learn and think back.
We've got a couple of minutes, and I have one more question. And I asked you this when we taped. For Cape Girardeau County, why isn't Cape Girardeau the county seat? As we know, Jackson is the county seat for the county, but there's a reason for that too, right?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. There was a tendency for the state, the General Assembly, to want county seats in the center of counties so people would not have an overly long distance to travel to get to the county seat.
Okay.
Of course, considering the size of some of the early counties, which, you know, Wayne County, for example, at the time of just before statehood, extended all the way out to the Osage Purchase, that is nearly to what's today Kansas. So there weren't that many people living there, though,
yeah.
So they didn't have that far to travel to the county seat. But the other reason was Cape Girardeau was tied up in Lewis Lorimer's land grant. It was not confirmed by the land commissioners, and so it was in limbo, which meant if Lorimer's land grant was in limbo, if you purchase lots from Lorimer or his estate, your title was in limbo as well. Jackson had a bit of that problem, which got resolved actually in 1821, but not nearly the way Cape Girardeau did. And so even though it was the more intelligent place to have the county seat because it's on the river, it's accessible to transportation, it was not designated as the county seat because it was not centrally located.
We've been going public with Bill Edelman. He's host of Missouri Bicentennial Minutes, heard Fridays during NPR's Morning Edition here on KRCU. You can learn more about Missouri's Bicentennial at Missouri2021.org. To hear more interviews, visit KRCU.org.